Good morning. This is the Wednesday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. When someone is reported lost, volunteer search and rescue dog teams are available to respond day or night to help in the search effort. Whether it's a missing child, an elderly person who's wandered away from their home, hikers or hunters lost in the woods, or victims of avalanche, flood, fire, or other disasters, canine search and rescue units are trained and ready to help find them at a moment's notice. The Dolores Canine Search and Rescue Team is a nonprofit volunteer organization that is on call 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, to assist local, state, and federal agencies in the search for missing persons. Joining me in the studio this morning are Chuck Melvin. He's Dolores Canine Search and Rescue Response Group Director. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, sir.
And also joining me is Vanessa Malloy. She is Administration Group Director for the Dolores Canine Search and Rescue Team. Good morning, Vanessa.
Good morning.
I want to talk a little bit about your event. You'll be hosting an annual pancake breakfast fundraiser and silent auction this Saturday, August 9th, at the Doghouse, which is located at 35 Railroad Avenue in Dolores, starting at 6 a.m. Again, that's on Saturday, August 9th. But first, let's talk a little bit about dogs and the canine units themselves. Chuck, how do canine search and rescue dogs find missing people?
Well, they depend upon, at least in theory, upon the scent of that missing person. And we have some evidence that they also depend a lot on sound. If the person is moving, they can't move totally silently, and the dog picks up on that as well. But our primary focus is on the scent of the missing person.
So is it kind of like what you see in the movies when they get a piece of clothing or something and they let the dog smell the piece of clothing from the missing person and then off they go? Is that pretty much how it works?
That is how it works with trailing dogs and with scent-specific air scent dogs, for sure. However, part of our dogs are generic air scenters, and that means that they will find any human scent out there. We have found buttons off of clothing. We found parts of packs. We found rocks or sticks that the person has carried and thrown down. So it depends upon the dog's training and upon the dog's assignment as to how we go about deploying them.
Okay. Well, let's talk about how those dogs are trained. There must be a pretty rigorous training, way of figuring out which dogs are good at this, how they go about doing it. What does training involve for a canine search and rescue dog?
Well, the first issue, and we see this repeatedly at the seminars and conferences that we teach and evaluate at, the vast majority of dogs just can't do this. The selection process is rigorous, and across the nation, about maybe one out of 40 actually makes the cut when it's all said and done. So we start out by evaluating the dog pretty severely, and it's kind of like trying to teach me calculus. But once we get past that stage, then we start a puppy looking for their favorite toy in-house. Once we get past that, we have the handler run from them, and then the puppy finds their handler, and it's a big party. The dogs, for the most part, work for the reward. We try to use positive reward in terms of like toys or tug or chase, or in general, most search dogs don't work for food. There's a lot of issues with using the food reward. It's most effective if your dog is hungry, which they obviously get on a search. But on the other side, we've had the best luck over the last 30 years training for toys, for play, that type of positive reward.
If you're just tuning in, this is the Wednesday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning we're talking about canine search and rescue teams, and specifically about the Dolores Canine Search and Rescue Team. And with me this morning in the studio is Chuck Melvin. He's the Dolores Canine Search and Rescue Response Group Director, and Vanessa Malloy, Administration Group Director for the Dolores Canine Search and Rescue Team. So, Chuck, are these dogs, are they matched with handlers for pretty much their term of service as they're
yes.
with these teams?
Yes. We buy and train our own dogs. We're totally volunteers, so we select and train and work with our individual dogs as we go along. Now, we do, to a degree, cross-train handlers. By that, I mean if I couldn't go for whatever reason and we needed Quiddy deployed, then Ness or her husband Eddie or my son James could, because they're around her a lot, could work her. But in general, they don't work as well as with the primary handler.
Okay. Vanessa, you've been a handler. You do handle some of these canine dogs from time to time?
I was previously a handler. Had one 20 years ago, probably, 15, 20 years ago. I don't have one right now. I could work his dog, Quid, if something happened that I needed to. And eventually I will have another puppy and start another dog. Right now I'm working base camp mostly for us.
Okay. You were talking about selecting dogs. What does that process look like? Does a handler go through training and then they go and there's a lineup of dogs that they get to kind of choose from and create relationships with? What does that look like?
Pretty much just exactly what you described. We have several checklists, puppy aptitude tests. We have one that was written by a good friend, David Brownell and Marzolius, out of Texas Star One years ago. And it's about a 25-page checklist that you go through and you evaluate the dog. It's designed for a little bit older dogs, but you go through and you evaluate each of these criteria, and then you add them all up because no dog is going to score on top in each of the criteria. But it is rigorous. They are exposed to all sorts of unusual and new surfaces that they have to go across. They have to walk down a beam. Basic obedience has to be in there, although you can make a search dog too obedient. They have to be problem solvers. And so we choose dogs that don't make the best pets. they tend to be in trouble if they aren't busy. So it is a rigorous process to get a dog that'll work. I've certified 5 now and started 11. So the majority just don't make it.
Well, you're listening to KSJD right now. This is the Wednesday Morning Zine. I'm Tom Yoder, and this morning we're talking about the Dolores Canine Search and Rescue Team. They'll be hosting an annual pancake breakfast fundraiser and silent auction this Saturday, August 9th, at the Doghouse located at 35 Railroad Avenue in Dolores. That starts at 6 a.m. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be talking more about that event. Stay with us. We're back. You're listening to the Wednesday Morning Zine on KSJD. I'm Tom Yoder. This morning, we're talking with Chuck Melvin. He is the Dolores Canine Search and Rescue Response Group Director. And also joining me is Vanessa Malloy, Administration Group Director for the Dolores Canine Search and Rescue Team. They'll be hosting their annual pancake breakfast fundraiser and silent auction this Saturday, August 9th, at the Doghouse. That's located at 35 Railroad Avenue in Dolores. That event starts at 6 a.m. And Vanessa, tell me a little bit more about what's going to be happening at your event on Saturday.
Okay, well, first of all, we're going to have our annual pancake breakfast fundraiser. We serve pancakes, sausage, hot coffee, and orange juice. We ask for a $5 per plate donation to the team. That's one of our main fundraising things. And then also last year, we started a silent auction, and we're continuing that this year. For those people that were at the silent auction last year, it's going to be about twice as big this year. We have a phenomenal person that goes out and asks local businesses for donations and gets items to put in that silent auction, and it's actually turning into probably our biggest fundraiser.
You know, a lot of people probably think that a canine search and rescue team is affiliated with a local agency like law enforcement or emergency response, that kind of thing. But you're really an independent organization, volunteer-led organization. Besides things like pancake breakfast, how are you funded and how are you supported?
Basically, that is our main fundraiser. We apply for some grants, donations. That's pretty much our main source of funding. And then the members themselves end up contributing a lot. They buy all their own equipment, and they've all been known to pitch into the team when they need something. But donations is our main source of funding.
And most of the handlers that we've been talking about this morning are volunteers. They don't get paid for the work that they do?
Nobody is paid. We're completely volunteer. And like the handlers and stuff, they're responsible for purchasing their dog, purchasing the food, everything. That's all just expense on the individual member.
Yeah. And how many dogs are there? Tell me a little bit more about the team that's located in Dolores. How many dogs, how many handlers do you have?
Well, right now we have one certified dog in Dolores, and we have another puppy that just we just got last week, 10 weeks old, little lab, golden lab. Mm-hmm. So that's what we have right now in Dolores. We are working towards getting more dogs. We also have 2 dogs in California and 2 dogs in Arizona.
Okay, so you're actually part of a larger group you mentioned in California. Tell me a little bit about who you're affiliated with, and then where do you get deployed to? Is it just kind of in the Four Corners area, or where do you go?
Well, we are the team or the group in Arizona and California. They're part of us. We're just one big team with separate divisions.
Okay.
And we are deployed. We've been to 12 different states. Most of our calls are local Four Corner calls. We spend quite a bit of our time in New Mexico. We get several calls from there. But we do Colorado. We'll go anywhere they ask us to.
Okay. And Chuck, you recently spent some time down around the Santa Fe area, I understand, mm-hmm. on a mission down there. Can you mm-hmm. talk a little bit about what happened down there?
Well, yeah. We had a 75-year-old mushroom gatherer that went missing. She separated from her husband at the Wilderness Gate on the Windsor Trail above the Santa Fe ski basin. We've been in that ski basin a multitude of times, and so we deployed down. We took the team equipment. We had Ness and another one of our members that were running base camp. They actually stayed at the ski area, and two other members went with the dog and I. Our first assignment was to run the Windsor. That's about 2.25 miles. And we had torrential rain and hail and lightning, and it was kind of fun getting out of there. And then the second day, we were assigned to run a power line. I don't know exactly how long that trail was. And then our assignment was altered to go check out a meadow. We did not find the lady. We were not deployed in any area anywhere near her, but she was found, unfortunately, deceased.
Oh.
From our point of view, the mission was successful. We had a little bit of difficulty getting paged out to start with, but we've got that resolved. So,
In those situations, when you're working on a search like that, do you pretty much just take orders from whatever agency is in control, whether it's a local law enforcement agency or some sort of emergency response? How do you work with those kinds of agencies?
Well, generally, yes. Rarely we will be assigned to be the strike team leaders that actually deploy the dogs. We very rarely, if ever, run a mission. In New Mexico, by state law, all missions are run by the New Mexico State Police. And they have a crew of volunteers that come in an instant command system and actually do the hard part. Okay. In Colorado and many other states like Utah, Arizona, the county sheriff is in charge. And they may or may not have a formal system put together, but most of the times, yes, we take orders, we go where we're told to go, we do the best job we can to search that area using the dog and the helpers, our flankers, and hopefully we can be successful.
Do you mostly only work on search and rescue type of situations, or do you ever work on like manhunt, like criminal kinds mm-hmm. of situations?
Not if we can help it.
Okay.
Okay, and not if we know it. On the other side, if law enforcement needs communication assistance or backcountry medical assistance, then we will try to help out that way. But we do not look for known criminals. We're not trained to do that. We don't have the equipment. If our dogs bite, they're done. They're retired, period, no exceptions. So we don't chase bad guys.
Okay, fair enough. Vanessa, if people want to find out more about the Dolores Canine Search and Rescue Team or just, you know, canine search and rescue dogs in general, where are some places they can look, maybe online?
Our website is canine, the letter K, the number 9, team.org. It has tons of information there. We can also call. 970-882-4746 is our team number. That will get you normally Chuck, and he can answer questions. And anytime that there's somebody down at the doghouse doing something, and if somebody comes by and has a question, feel free to stop by and ask.
Okay.
And we will be glad to, if the person there doesn't know, they'll get you in touch with somebody who does.
And, of course, they can come on over to your fundraising event on Saturday mm-hmm. and meet you guys too, I guess.
Exactly, yeah. The whole team will be there. Okay. That's who's going to be serving the pancakes and running the silent auction and everything is all team members. So,
okay.
Yeah, stop by and say hi.
All right. Well, thank you both for being here this morning. It was a pleasure talking with you.
Thank you very much for having us.
That's Chuck Melvin, Dolores Canine Search and Rescue Response Group Director, and Vanessa Malloy, Administration Group Director for the Dolores Canine Search and Rescue Team. You've been listening to the Wednesday Morning Zine. Don't forget, they'll be hosting their annual Pancake Breakfast Fundraiser and Silent Auction this Saturday, August 9th at the Dog House located at 35 Railroad Avenue in Dolores. That event starts at 6 a.m. Thanks for listening. I'm Tom Yoder.